Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
KeithandtheGirl.com/album. My brand new album is now available on iTunes, only on iTunes. It's a pre-sale. Please help support it. I'm very proud of it. And I talk about you in it. Thank you. Today's guest. Well, you know the HBO Comedy Arts Festival. Well, how about we're talking to the winner? This guy's been on Comedy Central, Jimmy Kimmel, Conan O'Brien. His podcast we'll also get into is Here We Are. And he explains why science isn't so stupid. That's what I like about this. Big drug addict, Shane Moss. How you doing, Shane?
Wonderful. Just trying to stay hooked on all those drugs. It's so many to be hooked on. The other ones get jealous sometimes.
He's talking to Hemda about drugs and pulling out. There's 17 different pockets in this backpack. You're not nervous walking around with this backpack?
No, not in any way.
All right.
I mean, most of the drugs that I have, dogs can't smell. And that's a big
turn on.
That's for me. Right. Like if the drug dogs can't smell them, I'm into it.
Right. You really do study. I mean, you study this. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it is. I mean,
even your comedy. You do a tour on psychedelics.
Yeah. I mean, well, it all happened organically. I
kept taking pills.
I liked doing themed shows, and I had all this material about psychedelics, and I was trying to do themed shows about like how the brain works, and it turns out people are not that interested in laughing about how the brain works. And psychedelics were just a really amazing inroad to me talking about consciousness and perception in a fun way that people were interested in. And then once I started touring with it, I got involved with various organizations like the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies that started sponsoring my tour and all these other groups that were doing all these amazing... Like, I've just spent 20 years just doing psychedelics mostly by myself and sometimes with friends. I actually like doing them by myself more. And so I didn't know of all these weird circles of not just researchers, but also there's like shaman all over the place and these like underground. Like,
but when you first were you taking it to party?
Yeah, originally. Yeah. I mean, I was like 16 years old originally.
And you took what first?
Just like being rebellious, mushrooms.
And what effect did that first have on you?
Awesome. I don't remember my first mushroom trip other than I knew that I loved them. I knew it was like the best thing that I'd ever done.
Why is that? Why are people, when I was 16, I was so frightened of drugs, especially like I was frightened of alcohol. Now we jump to mushrooms. Why some people at 16, you feel so confident that you can jump into something like mushrooms, which to me is a trip of at least 4 hours that you can't get out of.
On Friday pizza day, I got a double order. And my mind was blown. I couldn't imagine doing mushrooms at 16.
Yeah.
I was from a very small, I had a small town conservative upbringing.
Wisconsin,
little,
right?
Yeah, a little city outside of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Everyone's just nice there, you know, and it's just, you just gotta be nice, and your reputation's very important and everything, and you just, you know, it takes a lifetime to build it, and just one little oopsie daisy is, and so it's just best to just like kind of keep to yourself and, you know, not really talk about too much other than the weather and the Packers. And
right, that would make me scared to try mushrooms because it's so much warning that mushroom seems extreme.
It was the opposite for me because from a very early age, I was like, I wasn't getting the answers to questions that I had about life. And it was just a lot of like, well, God did it, you know, or because I said so, or, you know, whatever. There's never any like explanation for anything.
Then
I
what
just
did
had
you,
all these weird arbitrary. So I was rebellious from the age of like 5 years old. I was like a very, very rebellious. I would root for whatever team the Packers were playing against and like, which would drive my family crazy. Just
five?
In any way that I could like push buttons.
That would freak me out if my kid constantly was doing the opposing thing just to get on my nerves. Wouldn't you think you're the devil, baby?
Yeah. And then I mean, they kind of treated me like that well, a little bit. Yeah. And then
I put all the food in the garbage disposal.
And I mean, when I was like 9 years old, and I kind of decided that I didn't believe in organized religion or whatever. I mean, it wasn't that sophisticated of a thought at that time.
Yeah,
I was
just like, this is too organized for me.
I was just like, this, none of this makes any sense. And all what I thought is that everyone in the world felt this exact same way. And so I thought like either everyone was crazy or I was crazy or both. I think it is both, by the way. But so I was just like such a confused young person, and I was always just exceptionally rebellious. And so
in church, would you say out loud, doubt it? Or could you control yourself?
No, I kept my mouth, all my relatives thought I was like kind of a mute. They were so surprised when I started doing stand up because they're like, Shane, but he doesn't talk. Right. Because I just shut down at a very early age because I'd get disciplined for like saying anything controversial or like asking too many questions.
What are you on right now?
Well, I met someone for some drinks before, coming here. And so I had, two beers and.
Oh, I thought you stopped drinking.
Oh, no, I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's probably about time to start stop drinking again, actually. It's just interfering with, my time. And then I just did a small amount of Amanita muscaria mushrooms, which are legal mushrooms that are incredibly toxic usually.
Ooh.
But when they are...
Go on.
So they're actually... Amanita muscaria is this bright red and white mushroom, if you see pictures of it. And okay. It's like Siberia or some shit. These reindeer herders, as the story goes, these reindeer herders... these mushrooms would grow under conifer trees, Christmas trees, and they were red and white. And the shaman would sit on reindeer pelts and jingle bells while they were experiencing this.
Reindeer
and
poop?
And then, what's that?
Reindeer poop he'd sit on?
No.
Pelts, but clothing, their fur, their skin.
Oh, yeah, reindeer pelts. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, do you mean they grow on reindeer poop? Which they don't. And it's my understanding that they'd sometimes feed them to the reindeer, and the reindeer would like start jumping up and down really high if they were reacting to them.
And that's how Christmas was born.
Yeah.
And actually they would, during winter solstice, which is the arbitrary time that we picked for Jesus's birthday, they would dress up in red and white like the mushrooms and take their big sack of mushrooms on a sleigh around through the snow to all these huts, and oftentimes the snow was too high for the door to be open, so they'd drop them down through the chimney.
Wow.
And then white people came in and appropriated that. Yeah. They're like, this is a weird thing that these people are doing. Let's start kind of doing it, but without doing the mushrooms. They're just like, oh, I like that fun. You go around and deliver gifts.
Tell me if this should concern me. They asked Henda if, does she want to do radiation? They really can't say yes, that it's necessary, but they don't feel like it's right to say don't do radiation.
They recommended 5 weeks, 5 days a week, but they said I'm right on the border and I can also choose not to, but they have to recommend yes.
So instead, Hemda started taking this, there's a certain kind of cannabis that is known, that has been studied to destroy cancer cells. It seems to be working.
It's called Rick Simpson Oil RSL.
Now, why is it scary that Shane Moss, walking drug, never heard of this?
Well, first off, I should say that I am not a big fan of weed.
Okay.
I smoke it like maybe once a week, which is...
That's a lot for not being a fan of something, you know? Yeah. You know what? I don't like blood sausage. Every Sunday, max.
I mean, I'm usually never in the mood for it. And then like maybe once a week, I'm like, I'll try it. And then half the time I have a good experience and half the time I don't.
Okay.
Sometimes I like the idea of having different experiences, even if I don't enjoy, like I certainly don't enjoy every trip that I've ever had, but some of like the most difficult ones that I've had are the ones that I kind of learned the most from on the days following, thinking about, and that had the most positive benefit.
That's how I feel about movies. Almost all of them are terrible, but I once in a while it blows my mind.
So, you learn so much from this.
Like, well, why did you go to Wonder Woman? I'm like, because I liked something 10 years ago. Shawshank Redemption was good, so I keep going.
Keith keeps chasing the high of that in the first Star Wars movie.
That's right. So I'm definitely I'm not an expert when it comes to weed. So I don't know. It's cancer is a tricky thing. I had a guest on my podcast that had an idea of kind of taming the tumor, which is you don't try to eliminate the tumor, because there's if you tried to eliminate the tumor, there'd be cancer cells, like the few rare cancer cells that were resistant to the radiation would proliferate, and then those would be, and then there wouldn't be much of anything that you could do once they built. But what's keeping them at bay is the tumor itself. And so you want like a little bit of tumor keeping like the even worse cells away. And
can you imagine your doctor saying this as he's popping mushroom pills? Well, kind of fucked up. She got rid of it all.
I hope so. Right. Like, I think, I don't know.
Yeah. I hope so too.
Let me go back for a second.
Sure.
Did you have, with drinking, was it a deliberate relapse moment?
I had
how long were you sober before that?
2 or 3 years. I had I went through my injury breaking my foot that I've talked about before, but I had a year on crutches, and I dealt with that just fine. I kind of pain pills were like starting to make me nervous. Mm-hmm. I didn't get hooked, but I felt like I could see it going that way. And so I kind of...
How many would you take a day?
Well, I didn't really do them every day, because that's a great way to get addicted.
Right.
So I would instead do them like once a week, and I would do more than the regular. So I would just like kind of grin and bear it all week long. And then like
treat
once
yourself.
A week, I would like really treat myself and do like more than you're supposed to do. And that's kind of what they're for, is resetting, because they don't just work with physical pain. They work with psychological pain. There's no difference in the brain between physical and psychological pain, really. They're like, on a rudimentary level, they're kind of processed through the same area. And so those pain pills also like make you go, everything is great. Like they make you incredibly productive and everything. Like everything's going to work out fine. And don't ever trust anything that makes you feel too good. That's why I like psychedelics, because psychedelics don't necessarily make me feel good while I'm doing them. It just gives me a different perspective, which I find valuable. I think that the integration afterwards is better than the trip itself usually. It's just that most people are like, I'm going to trip. They don't set intentions or anything. Like, I'm going to gobble this thing. And then they have the experience and they're like, okay. And then that's done. And I think that's selling the experience short a little bit. But I had, I had gotten onto a cane. I got off crutches and I was like, yes, light at the end of the tunnel. And then but the cane sucked so bad. And I was like, after a month or so, I was like, oh, I think it's going to be this. I think my foot's going to hurt this bad and I'm going to be on this cane or worse for the rest of my life, which it turned out not to be the case. But that's what I thought at the time. And that's when I started having like this kind of a little bit of a breakdown. And then at the same time, I had taken a year off of dating. I had went through a breakup before my injury and decided like, I'm just going to go a year. I keep on making such horrible choices with women. I'm just going to like not look at a woman. I'm not going to think about, you know, and
could
like
you see
just
a woman's,
take a year.
Could you see a woman singer? Are you allowed to go to a show?
I could have seen a woman singer. I never get to see live music.
Is that why you didn't have an opener, just in case you had to pick a woman? Oh, but I think the woman is the funniest.
No, I can't think about women though. Shoot.
She's being funny now. I'm hot.
I was just like really just trying to stay focused on getting my head clear and like reading as much as possible and whatnot. So And it was like the most productive year of my life. And then even with the injury, and then once I started getting back, it was like I forgot how to have sex. I forgot how to like date or talk to girls. I'd like forgotten everything. It was so awkward. I remember the first time that I was going to have sex with a girl after this year was over. I had like a vacuum on a hole in my foot that was like, so there's like a huge hole in my foot for because of a bone infection, and there's like a little wound vac that they put on it to like suck out the infection or whatever.
So far I'm hot. I mean, right.
I had to like hide this and like detach it, but then there's still like a hose on my leg and stuff. It was like, it was so awkward.
What point happened that you said, you know what, I'm gonna start drinking again?
So then it was, I got rejected by this girl, which I'm not used to being rejected because I never put myself out there unless I'm right. like really sure a girl likes me. And so, and that was at the same time that I thought I was going to be like crippled for the rest of my life and in like pain every other time that I took a step. And I was supposed to be meeting my brother in Vegas, and I was just like, in this 3-week depression where I wasn't showering for like a week at a time and stuff. And I was having like I was considering like checking myself into like a mental institution. Right. I was like feeling really insane, and I didn't want to miss out on, and like my brother's one of my best friends. I didn't want to miss out on that. And I was like, well, I could just drink and then I'll enjoy. And it was like, it really helped. Right. Like, I got drunk for a week in Vegas and like blew off some steam and had an amazing time, and actually like alcohol really helped me through all of that and like helped manage the pain.
Should Budweiser say this?
I didn't want to do all of the pain pills and everything too. No, I mean, I'm not saying it's a good decision, but then. After a while, you know, like I just have the propensity for addiction. That's just how my brain works. And so like I start drinking more and more and more after right. a while. So it's about time for me to hit a reset button again.
Well, you take mushrooms acid the way people take baby aspirin, right?
I mean, I don't take aspirin. Right. So wouldn't touch the stuff.
What is you do a ketamine treatment. That's Special K. That's the cat tranquilizer, right?
Yeah, that I did a ketamine treatment.
That I see people do. I saw people do it live where we're all sitting at a table at a bar and this couple takes it, and then all of a sudden they're still and staring like statues. And we can't reach them until finally, about the same time, they both snap out of it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we were stuck. I heard everything, but we couldn't move. And I'm like, well, you won't do that again, will you? And he goes, no, of course we will. It's crazy. Yeah.
yeah. So what's a disassociative.
Right. So what's a treatment mean? That sounds like you do it regularly.
I did one ketamine treatment.
Okay.
I would love to do more, but they're incredibly expensive to have it done professionally, and you can just get ketamine on the street and treat yourself.
have a day. Just meet the right people and, you know, there you are.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like $1,000 for a ketamine treatment. Jeez.
Have you done it illegally? Like, did you do
I haven't
again?
Yet, but so this was I your first to. Ketamine? Yeah, it was awesome. It was...
What's the word treatment mean? Just so it doesn't
somebody
sound.
So it was like in a clinical lab, a clinical setting. It was all legal and everything. There's like this 80-year-old like farmer looking dude who's a doctor.
And what's it supposed to do? Get rid of depression?
Yeah. It didn't seem to work in that way for me, but I only did one treatment. You're supposed to do multiple, and it's supposed to be. And
what
I also,
goes on
I'm filming a documentary about psychedelics, so there's like cameras around me too at the time. And so I like couldn't fully get myself into it because I'm like,
right, do you have the shot?
Camera. Yeah. I was like directing it at the same time. Are you getting me freaking out right now?
Right.
Did you freak out a little?
No. I actually talked through a ketamine trip. So in shooting this documentary, it's also been kind of revealed that I have this weird power that not a lot of people seem to have, where when I take a disassociative, it seems like I can talk through it, which is an unusual thing. And I can kind of articulate what's happening in that experience. Like you said, they're just like gone.
Right.
I wasn't gone. I had my eyes closed and was talking about everything that I was seeing.
Well, good for you.
And same thing with DMT is unusual. Like, but people that first gave me DMT, they're like, you must not have done enough because you're talking through it. And then once I described what I see, and they're like, oh no, he's there.
What's the most powerful thing that you find on psychedelics?
Well, DMT is the most powerful. It's so different. It's everything's so different because mushrooms and acid, you can learn things about like this life and like things about, say, self-esteem issues or something like that that I've had to work on.
I think people hear this a lot. What when they hear like I've learned on acid, I learned on shrooms, I go in to find out more about myself. What specifically did you learn that you have held on to, that mm-hmm. you go back to, that is a very big deal, that's like your selling point of these things?
Sure. I mean, I'm not selling.
That's a weird way to express it. But wait, don't you think you are a little bit selling on it? You are on a platform.
Yeah, you know what? I am.
I'm doing a documentary. I did a 100-city tour.
Yeah. I mean,
you're on a platform.
Yes, I am on a platform about how they should be. I think they should be researched in clinical settings, and I think everyone should have the right to go into a clinical setting and do whatever psychedelic they damn well choose to do.
Sure, but there's someone on another platform of everyone should do everything about this, and you know they should be scientists should be looking into other things. You know, you specifically are on a platform of psychedelics and how they can change your mind and move you forward, or at least in your experience with them, how they did it for you.
Right. I also have a science podcast where only 5 of the 100 or 20 so episodes that I have done have been about psychedelics. So it's not my main platform. But definitely I'm on a tour right now. It's just that this is exceptionally successful. I had a hour show about how negative emotions have evolved that was really good. That, you know, it's just like an album that is on Spotify that hardly anyone's heard. And then I had a shitty Netflix special called Mating Season that was about the evolved mating mechanisms.
What makes you say shitty?
Well, it was my first time trying to do a themed thing. It's fine. It's good enough. It's just like now I know how to do themed
shows. Of course
it's
good enough. Yeah. You're down there talking about this woman told you you don't know how to perform oral sex on her. Right?
That's true.
She sits you down and has to say, what the fuck? How do you think you eat somebody out like that? And he's like, I heard a good job. And she's got to explain, why do you think women are twitching?
Yeah.
Because like, you like it.
I thought they were twitching because I was flicking the clit too hard with my tongue, the hardest I possibly could.
I found it.
I found the spot that makes them twitch. Turns out they're in horrible pain. And
what did you learn? Do you have any tips now that somebody walked you through it?
Go a little more easy.
It's sensitive, you're saying.
Yeah. It's definitely.
Don't box.
It's a sensitive area. Yeah. Definitely more like, I think that's like very much like a dude thing where like, you know, having said like, oh, I'm going to like pound her and she'll like that. And then like, I think I was like applying that same logic to the clip as well. Like,
the tongue's basically a dick.
So I'm fine to be an advocate for psychedelics, and clearly I am. I just don't think they're for everybody. I'll give you a very good example.
Sorry, Henda's brother just had a baby. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking is, how young is too young?
Well,
because if you start early,
yeah, sure,
they'll know even more than you.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, in our ancestral environment, when you look at hunter-gatherer tribes, they're experiencing these psychedelic rituals once they hit puberty. It's like a rite of passage, and a lot of people are like having to do these more intense psychedelic experiences than most anyone these days in the world would ever go through, and that's just a regular part of their lives. And you kind of have to assume it was a regular part of our lives through human history. But now we have these. I mean, I think that if I were to set an arbitrary age, I would say mid-20s is when the prefrontal cortex is fully matured, and then you can make better decisions and have better impulse control and blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's a good time to start experimenting with drugs once you have your brain fully intact. Yeah, I don't know. The culture is so different. I would love to see them in clinical settings for people. Because then, I mean, most people do psychedelics. They're like, I'm going to go to this concert. Oh, we should do psychedelics at this concert because I hear that's what people do. And then do psychedelics for their very first time, which can amplify and heighten every bit of sensory information around you. And now you're at a concert, which is meant to be hyper-stimulating already. Right. And it can be really overwhelming. Or you can be on like MDMA and unlock a memory of like when you were raped as a child that you like don't remember that happening, that you had repressed. Psychedelics can unlock repressed memories.
That's fun at a concert. That,
like, hey, I'm going to see my favorite band. And all of a sudden you're remembering getting molested as a child.
It's definitely worth that 50-50 coin flip. I mean, they're so really
that's,
good.
That's, I mean, I am. I'm like, I'm. That's why I'm literally not saying like, hey, everyone go and do psychedelics. And I think, especially something like acid, where it's like to make good acid. The CIA was buying acid from a company, Santos, that put like millions of dollars into perfecting acid. And they still weren't making like the best pure acid that there is. And now you take that and apply it to like some kid that's just looking up YouTube videos right. on how to make LSD.
Are you single?
And no, I have a girlfriend now.
Oh, so this doesn't wig women out?
Not my girlfriend. All my right. girlfriend's very cool with it. And actually, looking back, it would be a deal breaker now. I mean, I was just such a bitch before. That's a bad word to use, I'm realizing. But I was.
You were
like,
such a gentleman before.
I was too much of one. I remember I had an opportunity to go and smoke weed with Willie Nelson. And couldn't because my like girlfriend at the time didn't want me to smoke weed or something. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I should have been like, well, I'm out the door. What the fuck are you talking about?
I agree. But I think, you know, being raised here, at least, it's fucking so scary. When I first found out, like, you know, how easy people use marijuana, like how easy people are like, oh, let's smoke and then like go do other things. When I was first around it, I was just like, why are you so casual? It's so cavalier. It's so the amount of stuff that happens to your brain and then you keep going. But then once you're like in the, and I want to call it culture because I think it is, it changes and you like change on it. It has a different effect. I mean, to me anyway.
You habituate, you grow a tolerance for it. I mean, if you're smoking weed every day, you're going to get real used to it really quick. Like for me, every time I smoke weed, it's crazy. It's like me getting really high because I think
when you don't do it often or you only did it once or twice in your life and you're watching people just casually smoking weed, that's really scary. So I could see like as a girlfriend just going like, oh, so you're just going to like leave me here to go do drugs. You know, it's fucking nuts.
Did you get into all these drugs because of all the crazy or mind-numbing jobs that you've had? You worked at a crouton factory. Well, I would need acid too.
Yeah, I mean
croutons are the best. Take a salad, right?
He hates when people tell him that. He's like, but croutons are the best, and you get to have all that bread around you always. You can shove them in your pocket. The conveyor belt's not gonna tell nobody.
Working at a crouton factory is
the best.
One of the weirdest things. I actually enjoyed it, I think. But no, I mean, I was doing drugs before, but certainly I think that those jobs make me worry about people like doing too much alcohol and also speed and things like that. That's why meth is such a big thing in small towns now, because it's like you can, one, in these rural areas where there's like not a lot of police around, but there's like a lot of tree cover and stuff like that from any FBI helicopters or whatever. This is why it's a big thing in like amongst the Appalachian people. And then not only that, but There's some ingredient in meth that's really good for farming. It's a, like a farming, like some industrial product. And so it doesn't raise a lot of suspicion when you're buying it in like a small rural community.
Right.
And then if you're having to work longer and longer days and there's more and more of a separation of wealth and you're everyone's losing their job around you and you're trying to work your hardest to keep your job, I mean, a little bit of meth, a little bit of speed will like get you right through a slow, monotonous, excruciating day. You'll have a little euphoria and like it'll zip right by. You can even work overtime. And now you're providing more for your family.
You see, are you bored? Hey guys, are you bored?
When you're and then you're like, you have a meth hookup and then you're giving it to your coworkers. And then next thing you know, you're like a meth dealer and making more money off of that than, and that's what's like ripping apart small town like rural America right now.
When you're at let me ask you this: when you're at a store and you pick up a NyQuil and they ask for ID, do you start laughing?
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Oh, he would never touch really? The stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's funny. I didn't even realize that they do that. I used to. There's something called Secrets back in the day that had some sort of chemical in it that you could trip off of. You'd have to eat like 20 or 40 of these cough drops. Yeah. It was just like excruciating.
And somebody then was fucking with
like,
you.
Feel like
oh, and you got to eat worked. A banana peel, and then you got to.
It worked. It just wasn't.
You spin around 20 times, then you take a couple cough drops. You'll fall.
But what did you learn on acid, Brenda?
Okay. So this was my second time. And the thing is I get nervous before drugs because I feel like I can't get out of it, but I have to remind myself that this isn't physical. Like it's just gonna, because I get physical when I get nervous, like I right away fart, nervous, fart, poop, all of it, depending on how bad it is. So I feel my stomach start going and I'm like, this isn't affecting your stomach, but I like to, so Hennessy, hubby face, is giving it to me. I always, every time he gives me drugs, I'm like, you're trying to drug me. What are you trying to do to me? Because I have to make this elaborate thing. And then I put it in my mouth and I go, here we go. Even though I know it's going to take like a half an hour passes, nothing happens. He goes, let's take another one. And I'm like, whoa.
A half hold hour. Hold on. It takes like an hour to 2 hours
well,
to kick in.
Well, we looked it up first because it was a very specific kind. You
it's
know?
Been 10 minutes already. Should we shoot up?
Well, he wanted to take two anyway. He wanted me to go to like some other level that we went to next time, last time. But I felt like I was already in an intense place. And acid's pretty intense. Like, you're in it. You're in it.
I've heard things.
There's no like eject button either. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it could be 14 hours long sometimes. Usually more like 10. But that's like, like if things start going south, that's just like such a long time to spend in that. And like bad acid especially, it can feel like kind of gross.
Yeah, but mostly it was just us laughing our face off. And then I was going around in a loop, like, I am trying to figure some shit out. I think I am going through a depression. I think I am going through, like, what my role is in life and, like, why am I making these decisions and shit like that. So I was, like, on a loop, like, but this and then that and then this and then that. And then I'm like, how am I here again? Because I would just loop around again. And I'm like, let me take a break from this. And we laughed a little bit. And the biggest thing about acid for me is, like, when it gets overwhelming, it feels like nothing is going to help it. Like you're just going, like, it's such an overwhelming feeling of like, whoa, this is so much. That's all it is. Not so much bad, not so much good. So I start getting that and I'm like, but there's no way I can get up and do anything. I just go, no, this is not, like, from what I understand, this is your choice and you get to make the decision. And I'm like, well, if I just get up now, then I'll be up. And I got up and you switch rooms and the whole thing starts switching. Also, I took like 5 showers. Showers are the best.
Showers are the best.
Showers are the goddamn best.
Oh, yeah.
I go, so should I take a shower again? And he goes, again, I guess, again, I think you're clean. I'm like, is it really about being clean? Is that really? I just sit under the water and I go, this is my private waterfall.
Like, what is it? Is your skin sensitive or what?
I think so, yeah. And water is like, for me, water is like amazing. Every time I go in the shower for like a normal shower, you'll hear from the other room like, oh, like wow, water. So now I'm on acid and I just like, and we have a tub and we can fill the tub, which I filled it and then peed in it. And then I was like, that's gotta be okay, right? That's gotta be okay. I just like it comes from there. If it goes back up there, I think we're okay.
Sure.
You know, what are we going to drain it? I'll still have pee on me. Let's just do this.
Well, you know how taking
and I was
a shower,
wearing my underwear.
You can have like your, like all these like epiphanies right. and you daydream a lot more.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Better,
so
better singer.
Acid just kind of
better singer. Better singer.
Acid just amplifies all of that.
I was reading some story. Cary Grant took acid 100 times to get over mommy issues that he had. I believe he had a sister that passed away, and the mom would start dressing him up as if he was the sister, and you know, and it's ended up, believe it or not, fucking with his relationships. I think he was married 4 times.
Well, he also his mom one day just went away, and he thought that she died, but it turns out she was in an insane asylum for like 20-25 years. But he was doing it when it was legal.
Right.
Which is really interesting. And he was doing it as a form of, I have a goal, I'm going to get over my mom's things. And it didn't work for a little bit, but then he hit some sort of turn and it did.
Yeah, it didn't work the first time. 100 more times.
I'm only getting closer.
But I almost think like at that point, it's weird to say like anything would help. But if you are 100 times looking at the problems that you have with something, like if I wanted to get over my problems with my mother and I thought about it 100 times intensely, I think I would get somewhere, you know? Mm. So this ritualistic of like, or maybe you go to a therapist 100 times, or maybe you go drink tea with a friend or with several friends or to meetings 100 times. All of those things have, I think, the same effect. This will, you know, just kind of map your brain there maybe more intensely or faster than you would allow yourself normally.
Yeah, it's a shortcut. People are like, oh, it's a shortcut. I'm like, yeah, it absolutely is. You're saying that like it's a bad thing or right. something like that. Like if I'm on a subway and there's like a local train and an express train, I'm not like, well, I gotta take the local train. I need to like really savor suffer. Every spot along that. I need to earn it, you know?
But I think that this is earning it. Half the time on acid, you'll see me go like, okay. Then at around 3 a.m, I'm like, okay, I'm done. But that doesn't mean acid is done.
Oh, I know.
I'm just like, okay, I'm finished.
Like, I don't like that it lasts so long.
It
I don't
lasts
like that
so
stuff.
Long. Acid's not my favorite thing in the world, to be honest with you. But for some people, it's like some people's brains jive. Like people seem to be either acid people or mushroom people. I'm definitely a mushroom person. I still do acid, just not that frequently. And
that's kind of what they say. Some people are Elvis people, some people are Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I follow.
I'll listen to both, but like I just have a strong preference.
Well, can I tell people what you gave me before the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So he gave me
kale salad. Well, what could it be?
All the weed he doesn't want to smoke. Right. Well, I haven't done mushrooms yet, and he gave me some mushroom pills.
Yeah, some capsules.
Some capsules.
Yeah. Look at this. And you just say that and he has it. Hey, I didn't do money yet. He has a 15th pocket. Oh, look at that. There's just a little.
Oh, you should try money.
Well, I
just
think.
Just do a little bit. See how it does.
Wow, it gets me stuff. I'm into it.
I've been wanting to do mushrooms, but I get really nervous about that, you know, because acid made me feel good because it's a trip that lasts a long time, but it doesn't affect my body. And it's my body that when I get the shakes and I'm uncomfortable and I want to throw up, like that's the negativity I see on Molly, you know, like I'm just like jaw and whatever.
But Molly though.
I didn't think you'd like Molly because if you don't like acid, you don't like, I mean, if you're not big on acid, that's what I think. Molly is another intense
such
one.
Such a different thing. It's just like so different. MDMA has an incredible amount of therapeutic uses, but at the same time, it is barely a psychedelic. It's like really speedy and everything else. And it's like, it's really good for like bonding. Like, how are you doing it with Hubby Hubs?
Yeah, definitely.
Because then it's amazing.
Yeah.
But
it's
like,
really good. Like, we figured some stuff out. I'm like, oh, I get why you get mad at me there. Like, through your experience, this, that, and the next. And
sharing uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
It's really good for that. It shuts down the amygdala, which is the fight or flight response. So it's shutting down, like, a lot of your anxiety.
Well, the last time I learned, you know, there's some stuff like that, you know, you can't help but take personally from your partner. And I'm just taking things personally. We took some Molly, and it's like, all right, that feels personal, but I'm going to try not to take this personally anymore because you have a life and the stuff that you do affects me, but I'm done.
I mean, you should really try to find peer MDA. And that's the other thing with Molly. It's hard to find peer stuff. Bath salts are one of the most common things passed off as Molly. And then people will keep on doing it too. Like peer MDMA, you can redose like a half a dose. If you take the appropriate dose, you can redose a half a dose like 3-4 hours later, something like that. But bath salts is my understanding that you can just like keep on redosing them. So you think that's normal. So then if you do get peer MDMA and you're redosing, that can lead to a lot of trouble.
Oh, I'm so not redosing yet. Redosing is very difficult right now.
Do you have sex on these drugs?
I haven't really. I've thought about it, but, and I've certainly had opportunities to, but it seems like when I'm on psychedelics, the idea of sex is just like, I'm so terrified that I'm.
Do you not have sex though? Aren't you always on something? That's what I'm picturing.
What's that?
I'm picturing like you're always on something.
Oh, no, I'm not always on something. Okay. Especially psychedelics, you don't need to take that often. I'm going through a little streak right now where I'm taking a little more than normal, but that's because I'm in a transformative period, which they're good for.
I thought about having sex.
I didn't do psychedelics for like 6 months throughout the whole tour because I was on track. I knew where I was going the next day and blah, blah, blah. Once the tour is coming to an end and I'm figuring out like my next moves and have a few different opportunities, that's when I like really get in there and try to sort it out. It just speeds along the process of sorting out what I want to do next.
Well, listen to when Shane Moss was on this show before, but of course, like you alluded to, you did a special talking about when you broke your heels.
Mm-hmm.
You were jumping off just this little ledge. You love jumping, right? You're the king of it. It's your favorite thing to do next to mushrooms.
Did I tell you guys that I actually went and visited that ledge and I brought my girlfriend?
No. Did you just start crying?
No, I was actually really nervous that it was like...
You would have to jump again because you love it.
We went to the other side of it. We went to like the bottom edge of it.
Right.
Like
remind me how high was it?
Well, so I always said it was like 10 to 12 feet.
Okay.
And I was worried I was going to see it. And it was like, I'd built it up too much in my mind. I'd built up the journey down in my mind. And I had really like undersold it to myself.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually it was a little higher than I remembered it being. And the way down was treacherous with working feet. I was like, my girlfriend's a hiker and everything, and I was still like having to help her down and as you would help her, would you go, feet.
Huh, baby, look, huh?
Look look what I went through.
So is it good news? Like maybe like nothing bad can really happen to you because you'll know how to do a special on it.
Yeah.
You'll break your arms. You're like, good.
Great. Now it's a new hour. Right. Oh, both arms? 2 hours.
That easy. I'm reading breaking news. Lionel Richie's bassist took edibles, obviously weed edibles, and started stabbing himself.
No.
Law enforcement sources tell us a 911 call came in around 10 p.m. on Tuesday, the caller reporting a stabbing victim. Paramedics rushed to a San Fernando Valley apartment where they found Ethan Farmer bleeding profusely. Farmer, who's also toured with New Kids on the Block, had eaten either pot brownies or cookies and went off the rails, stabbing himself all over his body.
What?
He's 42 years old. He had some friends over. They were chowing down on edibles when Farmer suddenly turned violent on himself. He was taken to a hospital where he remains. We spoke to Ethan, but he didn't say anything about the incident other than he's recovering.
From edibles?
Well, he took an edible.
It's so exhausting. Can you imagine stabbing yourself?
But it took at least 5 minutes to kick in. So then he ate another one. And another one.
No, edibles are like all of the worst trips that I've ever had are from eating too many edibles. That shit can be real dark.
Right.
It's not good. Lots of paranoia.
And they sell them in all flavors. Peach.
And then you're thinking about how your claim to fame is working with New Kids on the Block. Richie, and you just start stabbing. I can see it.
Let me mention this, please. Harry's Razors. You want an inexpensive shave, but you want a good shave.
Sure.
You don't want to have to ask for permission like you're buying cough medicine at a drugstore. Please, can you open up the thief-proof cabinet so that I can pay $1 million for a blade? Have the blades delivered right to your house at a fraction of the cost. And also remember, Father's Day is coming up. That's probably what Dad needs, right? And it's very inexpensive, but you don't have to tell them that. All right? Here's a special deal they have for Father's Day. Shave sets start at just $15, not to mention $5 off when you go to harrys.com/KTG. But I will mention it. Harrys.com, harrys.com/KTG. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave gel, 3 of Harry's 5-blade precision engineered razors. Harry's limited edition Father's Day shave set comes with a storm gray razor handle, chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, 3 replacement blades, a travel cover. Oh my goodness. Go to harrys.com/KTG right now and redeem a special offer for fans of this show. Harry's will give you $5 off one of their shave sets.
I feel like you spend more on coffee a day than this, really, because it comes with all that stuff for $10 after you use the code.
Right. It's a limited time only, so act now. That's harrys.com/KTG and get $5 off. Help support the show and look like a human being. I mean, some of you out there, I walk around. It's vomitous.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, shave, you look younger. I mean, come on now. Thank you, Harry's. Here's a fun little story. A 7th grader, her name is Lizeth Villanueva, was shocked in school because her teacher gave her a certificate that read, most likely to become a terrorist.
A certificate?
Took it home, showed it to her mom. Her mom's like, what the fuck kind of school is this? And then it made the news. But the teacher thought this would be funny. I'm going to give a 7th grader a certificate.
As like a punishment?
No, it's a joke.
What's the joke?
I don't know.
You're going to fucking fail?
She's some kind of foreigner. Ha ha.
For real? Like just.
Well, that was an odd name, you know.
What the hell?
Villanueva. She's like, close enough to me. Muslim. Next.
So a teacher. Yeah. Took the time
to go to college, yes.
to make her certificate, so you have to like print that out and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time taken, and nowhere in the process she was like, this is too far.
And her husband is the one that printed it out at home. It's like, honey, I don't know how to use your computer. Yeah, I'm not sure what you're using this for, but don't you worry about my business. It's a little joke. It's a bonding thing between me and my students.
Yikes.
I give different certificates. Well, I gave Bobby the other day, most ugly. And now her, I'm going to say most likely a terrorist. I do little jokes.
That's the thing. Are all the jokes negative?
Yeah, most likely to be raped at prom.
Right.
It's just a joke.
Are you getting upset? I'm not saying it's your fault you were raped at prom. No, just take their certificate, go home, show your parents. They'll get a kick out of it too.
Show your parents.
I mean, instead of just saying it as if that would be okay. Here's proof that I wrote it down.
And it would also be more like most likely to rape. You know,
right, yeah.
Because she's going to be a terrorist.
I read it twice. I said, what is this? It doesn't look good at all, especially coming from a teacher, a grown-up woman. It doesn't look good because everything that's going on right now.
All because of everything going on. Before 9/11,
right.
You could just, you might be a terrorist. You fill out the right form, you know. You could be a doctor, terrorist, lawyer.
This is in Channel View, Texas. And the school system says this is not according to district policy, and they are looking into it. In fact, they're saying, specifically on page 7, it says, do not give out fake certificates about being an upcoming terrorist. We're very clear.
They're doing the due diligence.
I really want to see the other certificates. What could the other certificates
right.
say? I'm surprised they didn't give, bet like will win in the Olympics and this one's a terrorist. Like how, right. What kind of what kind of margin are we talking about?
We'll be very successful. I already used that one. Let me think. We'll have a happy life. Used it. Dumbest I used. Most likely to be a terrorist. I just got to go to bed. We wake up at 6 a.m. Teachers at 5.
Yeah. Why did I say everyone was going to get a very special one?
Right.
Maybe I could have 2 terrorists in my class. That could happen.
I mean, my biggest problem with all of it is that that she had to print it out at home on her own computer using her ink.
I don't ask
it's expensive. This is the public schools aren't getting the funding that they need to be printing out most likely to be terrorist certificates.
But here's the thing:
all on their own,
she can't get in trouble because it wasn't the school board's ink. So what did she really do?
I'll tell you what.
Brought a gift from home.
Yeah. Who else taught in an avant-garde way? One Michelle Pfeiffer. So I thought I would change things up, have a little fun.
Do you remember that movie?
Are you going to sit backwards in that chair right now? I want to see that happen.
That movie.
And then talk through the mesh backing. Right.
Who made that movie? Because when they were making it and they were like, oh, look at all these kids who like obviously want to learn, but they're in just such a bad district. Oh, I got it. Wait, follow me on this. Not certificates. I could print that. That's too easy. I'm a good teacher. Snickers bars. Now, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
The little sizes that assholes give on Halloween. No. These are full bars. And these are black kids. Ooh. So full bars. Do you see what I'm saying? They're just going to respond.
This white lady.
What kind of weird fucking shit? It wasn't even like...
Well, that's why they burned their house down, if you remember. Fuck her.
Did they?
Yeah. Well, by accident. That. She let the students do something in her house, and it burned the whole house down. But she kept teaching.
That was the most insulting thing. It wasn't like, oh, did you know that this connection with this connection, boom, now we're learning. No. It was, can you believe that this has 50% more nuts?
Right.
Snickers!
What's Fife's doing these days?
Rewatching Dangerous Minds over and over.
She's doing Chocolate Factory now.
Chocolate Factory?
Chocolate Factory.
Is she?
No, she just likes giving out candy, so I went for it.
Oh, okay. We can ignore
I forgot about the Snickers thing already.
That's the fucking mushrooms. Shane Comedy is the Twitter account if you want to see what's going on. Guess what he's on as he tweets. That's the fun game I play, Shane.
Yeah, that's actually a fun game. Mm-hmm.
The website is ShaneMoss, MAUSS.com. And see what's happening. He's wrapping up his 100 City Psychedelic Comedy Tour. Yeah. Find out what's he's gonna. This whole body's gonna deteriorate from what's going on. See him now while you can, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, before I'm dead from all these evil drugs that I'm doing. Also, I'm hoping to make this into a special that will be out at the end of the year. Is the idea?
There you go.
Now, do you think you'd have trouble getting someone to sign you on because it's about illegal drugs?
That seems to be like a little bit of a weird hang up with a lot of people. It's really strange.
Which is really interesting because if you look at anybody special, they will talk about some drug use having sex, rape.
Drinking.
Blackouts, driving while drunk, like all this kind of stuff. So it's funny where people draw.
Well, here's the thing. I would love to produce this, but I give everybody a drug test. And I don't think you'd pass.
Actually, most of my drugs pass drug tests.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But my next special is just about abortions, so that should be a little easier to sell.
I'm nervous about that study you'll be doing. You know your facts. And of course, the podcast, Here We Are.
Yeah.
Download it. And also download the app, laughable.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. You can subscribe, for example, on this app to one Shane Moss, and then whatever podcast he's on, it comes into your feed automatically. Shane is a fellow Artist Collective member.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Laughable.
We keep an eye on that. Make sure everything's and up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I want to mention this. So Laughable can track, you know, what city you guys are in or what state, like a close proximity to where you guys are. So we would like you guys to follow us on the app, whether you're following Keith and the girl or Keith, Shane, me. Here's the thing. Keith does a special. You just recorded your 14th, and it's out now, keithandthegirl.com/album for presale. Your 15th special is being recorded next April 15th as usual. But for the first time, we're considering not doing it in New York. But we want to see who wants this special. Like, do you want us to come to LA, Australia?
Who wants the kid?
Japan, wherever it is. We want to see where we have the most people who would want this. Follow us on Laughable. They'll tell us where you're following us the most, and that is where Keith will record his next hour.
That's the best thing about it. And me trying to put together live podcasts and stuff like that. Yeah. That's really the best thing about it.
We're going to come to you based on what you follow on Laughable.
They're also like keeping track of what episodes you're listening to the most, so we know what to do more of and everything. Laughable's fantastic.
There you have it. All right, everybody. So there is no privacy anymore. That's the point.
Follow us, follow us.
Thank you guys very much. Shane, always a pleasure.
Thank you guys.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
KeithandTheGirl.com